Did I say 45? What did I say? 65. That's another thing that happens to you when you get old, you start lying real bad. What? Yeah, that's pretty squirrely. That BTC class, pretty squirrely class. Oh my. This morning I talked about the fact that all believers are overcomers, but not all believers are really believers. And you have some people who apparently do a lot of good works that don't have the Spirit of God. On the other hand, you have a lot of people that you never see anything in their life that indicates that Christ is working in them from the time they make their profession until the time they die. Now, I know you can say, well, Brother McMurray, you don't have to see it because they're not saved by what the works. Well, I understand that. But in fruit inspecting, sometimes it's really hard to believe that they're saved. The Revelation overcomer is the church member who overcomes the world by living faith, which has visible substance. His life gives evidence of the one who indwells him. Not all names on New Testament church rolls represent saved men and women, because some are not true believers which have a living faith in Christ. Those who have been truly justified by faith shall live by the faith which saved them. Those who have not been justified by faith cannot live by what they do not possess. I got carried away one time and preached the Bible at a church down in central Arkansas, which shall go nameless. And I was preaching over in Hebrews, and I came across the scripture that said, but if you be without chastisement, of which all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. And I was foolish enough to carelessly make this statement. There are a lot of bastards sitting on church pews and on church rolls. And the church got very mad about it, I understand, and they never had me back again. Well, you'd think that would be discouraging. But what it told me, there really were a lot of bastards sitting out there on the church pews. Because the truth of the matter is, just because you're on a church roll and just because you attend church regularly doesn't mean you're saved. And so a person that is saved has a living faith. There is no such thing as a dead faith. It's a figment of man's imagination. A living faith is a saving faith, and a living faith does produce some kind of work. In Revelation 21:7, which you've seen over and over and over again, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Every true believer is a son of God. And the question, as I said this morning, is how much of the inheritance as a son of God, a daughter of God, do you want? For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So the question is, the degree of the inheritance that you will receive in heaven as God's son is going to be directly dependent upon how much your faith increases as you go through life. Who is he that overcometh but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? It would be nice if everybody on this earth that said they believed in Jesus was a true believer. But if the truth were known, probably only a very small percentage really honestly believe in Jesus, because you never see any evidence of the faith that's in them, even that saved them, and they seem to spend their whole life trying to avoid God rather than to let Christ who is in them serve his Father. I don't think a man can do that his whole life. I think there has to be something that manifests itself. I don't think Christ can lay in there and never do anything. He's not dead. He's alive. And so a saving faith is a living faith. Now, I hammered away on this Romans 1:16-17 for a long time when we went through there, and I did it for a reason. It's because it tells you something about faith that today the religious world doesn't practice. We have a lot of very religious people who get on television who appear to be religious. The name of Jesus seems to slip off their lips like honey and sugar, but it's venomous, and they have not the Spirit, many of them. Now, we are told in Romans 1:16-17, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ. For it, the gospel, it is the power of God, for what? Unto salvation to everyone that believeth." So when the scripture says, "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" The question is, has the good news of Christ and the power of God actually given them salvation when they believed in Christ? And the question really is, what did they believe about Christ? And did they have a living faith? And did they trust Jesus to truly save them from what they were, helpless, destitute sinners? To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, everyone that's saved, I want you to notice this next verse, because it gives you a pattern of their life. For therein, therein what? Verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. For therein, in the gospel, in the power of the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed." It's telling you that the power of God that's in the gospel is a living power. It is a living Christ. It is a living man. It is a living spirit. It is Christ that strengthens. It is Christ that saves. And Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." So when you talk about the gospel and who has believed and who hasn't believed, how do you separate them? For therein, in the power of the gospel itself, is the righteousness of God revealed. Something you can see before your eyes. That's what the word means. Well, how is it revealed? From faith to faith. This is talking not only about the exhibition of it from generation to generation to generation to generation, but it's also talking about the personal demonstration of it in a person's life. A person who gets saved, all of their life, Jesus is in them. He does not die. He cannot die. He must stay there. And you can't tell me that he's just going to roll over and lay dead and never make any effort to do them any good and never be able to be seen outwardly. If nothing else, you're going to see a miserable, wretched person who is fighting against the Spirit of Christ and resisting to the utmost. You're not going to see some happy Joe sitting out in a bass boat, reeling in there and just enjoying life and saying, "Man, this is great, this is great," and grabbing for a slits and saying, "Ah, all the gusto of the world." You're not going to see that. Jesus will not let such a person enjoy what we call the world. And if they get bad enough, the Lord will take them home early. He says, "For therein, in the power of the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed." You get to see the righteousness of God, who is Jesus Christ living inside you, and you get to see his righteousness from faith to faith, a growing faith, faith growing to more faith. As it is written, "The just shall live by faith." The just means literally a person that is justified. I got justified 53 years ago. It was a permanent justification. It happened instantaneously when I repented of my sins and exercised faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. I was then justified before God by the righteousness of Christ that he imputed to me at that instant, and Christ has never left me. He never will leave me. He will never forsake me. Now, shall live by faith. A man who's justified by faith is going to live by faith. Well, how is he going to live? Is everybody going to attain the high level of maturity that Paul reached? No. Is everybody going to maintain the high level that Peter reached eventually as his life progressed? Is everyone going to finally reach the stage of maturity where if the choice were offered them, they would walk to a cross and die for Christ? No. But are all of God's children going to demonstrate some small degree of faith because Christ is living in them? Yes. And if they don't demonstrate it, you have every reason to question their salvation, because a person that's justified is going to live by faith. He may be erratic, but look at Samson. Did Samson live his whole life by faith? Certainly not. Did Jacob live his whole life by faith? Certainly not. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you can go through those elders, those great saints that are our witnesses, encompassing us about, I'll get it right in a minute. And you can find all kinds of flaws in their lives. But the one thing about them that you can't find is a quitting, a giving up. There was a manifestation that they were justified men. And their lives that they lived by faith proved it. There's going to be a different degree that a man overcomes. And not all in heaven are going to get the same reward. But it's there available for anyone who's willing to live the life. Not talk the talk, but as they put on these t-shirts, walk the walk. John 3:7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Why must ye be born again? Because unless you have a saving faith, unless you repented toward God and exercised faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ that was genuine, and you're truly trusting Him and Him alone to save you from eternal damnation in hell, you don't know what justification is. And you can hardly live a life by faith if you've never been justified. You cannot live a life of faith. You cannot reveal the righteousness of God if Jesus is not in you. Marvel not that I said that ye must be born again. You must be born from above. Well, 53 years ago, I was born from above. My life has been one of great imperfection. My life has been one of great erratic behavior. My life is still marred by periods of erratic behavior. But nevertheless, being a justified man, you have seen some small evidence in my life that Christ is there, and on rare occasions you might even have seen Him manifested out of my life when I surrendered to Him and He got to work His work in me. But it wasn't I, but Christ. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So you must be born again. Now, I want you to notice what James said, because many people take this book of James and try to teach loss of salvation. It just doesn't teach that at all. James was a man who understood, certainly, everything that I've shown you thus far. Long before I ever understood it, he was a very wonderful man. He was a man who told it just the way it was. He understood this principle, and he wrote about it. In James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, in other words, when somebody comes around and you're not moving because the spirit's not in you, they can kick you and they can say, Charlie Ellis, get up, Charlie. And Charlie won't get up because his spirit's gone. You can kick a dead body. You can jump up and down. You can pump water in its ear. You can blow air through its nose. And it's dead without the Spirit. That's the same thing with these people who don't truly believe. They do not manifest the Spirit of God because they do not have the Spirit of God, and they cannot produce fruit, and so by their fruit shall you know them, and there's none there. They have an imaginary thing. They have a dead faith. But there's no such thing as a dead faith. Without the Spirit, there is no faith. That's why the Spirit has to come in you and live. That's why you have to trust God to give you the new birth from above. And until you do that and understand how helpless you are, and He gives you that new birth, you can work until the cows come home, and it won't do one bit of good, because you must be born from above. Now notice what James says, James 2:19. Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. May I say that right now, across this country, in many buildings, there are people that are meeting that believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but they do not have a saving faith. They have never been born again. You can ask them to fill out questionnaires. You can ask them to express it verbally. You can put the question to them publicly. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And they'll say, yes. But you can ask the devil the same thing. You can ask his demons the same thing. Good heavens, they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They know it. Just to know that he's the Son of God is certainly not a saving faith. But to put your trust in him, your belief in him, your confidence in him as the only hope you have, and to just trust him to save you and to keep you by his power. My friend, that's what a saving faith is. And that's what causes God to allow his Son to come to live in you. And that's what justifies you. And then they can see the faith of Christ coming out of you and manifesting itself. I want you to know that James continues, James 2:20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? What is his point? You've heard me preach this thousands of times. But it's something that really needs to come home to every one of us and be a living, functioning part of our thinking and our life. There is no such creature as a dead faith. Just like a body without the spirit is dead, 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 dead. It does not have the spirit. A faith is dead without the spirit. If the spirit is in you, the spirit will produce works. I want to say it again. If the spirit is in you, the spirit will produce works. Now I want to reverse that. If there is no work, if there are no works, there is no spirit. And if there is no spirit, you have never been born again. And you may say, until the cows come home, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And I say to you, congratulations. So does every demon, and so does the devil himself. And I assure you, they are not going to end up in heaven. Hebrews 11:1-2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when you talk about, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein the power of God in Christ is the righteousness of God, Jesus manifested outwardly, him working in your life, doing things for his Father, revealed, manifested, from faith to faith, growing faith, more and more of Christ manifested. As it is written, the justified, someone that's saved, someone that truly is born again, someone that has the Spirit, a saving faith, shall live by faith. They have to live by faith because the Spirit is in them. Hebrews 11:1-2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The things that we hope for are the proof, substantive things that you can see that we believe. We really do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. A person that is not living, hoping for the future promises of God, has never been born again. Their faith has no substance. You say, yeah, but they can have another kind of faith. No, no, no. Faith is substance. Faith is the substance. And it is the things that you hope for that give the evidence that it is genuine. The evidence, actual evidence to present in a court, a spiritual court, of things not seen. The just shall live by faith. When Jesus gets inside you, your faith has substance. Your faith can give evidence. But if your life doesn't give any evidence, and if your faith doesn't have any substance, then it's a very simple conclusion and very reasonable and not anti-Bible that you don't have a saving faith. But if right now you believe that you're going to be resurrected from the dead when Jesus comes, you believe you're going to receive a new body, you believe there is a heaven, and you're trusting in Jesus to get you there, and you know that's the only way you're going, and if Jesus doesn't get you there, you're not going. Well, my friend, I've got some wonderful news for you. You are justified. You are a believer in Christ because you believe he can do what he said and what he promised, and that's what faith is. We have a lot of easy believism today. I watch it on television, and these men get up there, and they say, now come down here, and they all come down to the aisle. Torn, mangled body, seeking redemption, seeking hope. And he says, repeat after me.
And it's like a Paul Parrott. Say what I say, and they say it. And then when they're finished, he said, now that you've said it, you're saved. Brothers and sisters in Christ, those people walk away from there believing a lie. And it's easy believism. You say, do any of them ever get saved? Yeah. You say, how do you know? Because once in a while, I'll see one of them break away and start doing what's right. And I'll see him trying to break the habit of being among this assembly of people that are not following the truth. So yeah, a man can be saved anywhere, because it is not by the expertise of the preacher, but by the power of the gospel itself that men are saved. Now, how do I know that Abraham was saved? And how do I know that he had a living faith? By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. Suppose when God took this man, whom he had justified already, because Abraham believed God, and did he believe God to the extent that he was saved? Yeah, he did. How do I know? He obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. Suppose Abraham in his whole life, after he had supposedly believed in Christ, believed God's promise, suppose that after Abraham had believed God's promise, he had not obeyed. Suppose he had successfully fought off the Holy Spirit for the rest of his life. Would he have been a justified man? No. Absolutely not. Because the works were an outward justification that showed what he was. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. His life manifested that his faith had substance. His life was real. It was genuine. He lived by faith. Did his work save him? Did his obedience to God save him? Did the fact that he followed God and believed him save him? Absolutely not. But he could not live a life that showed no faith, because he had faith. And it was the faith that caused him to obey. We are saved by grace through faith. We are saved by belief in Christ. But the belief in Christ is manifested because he is alive. And you cannot go through life after you're saved and never let Jesus make any appearance outside of your heart. It will not work. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles. So how do I know that you have faith? Well, because I see it in the fact that you're here. And I see it in the fact that there is a working in your life by Christ. And I know what you believe, because no one could sit here under straight word preaching and take it. And that's the way I know people are saved, because I see Christ working in their lives. And that's the way you know I'm saved. It's because you see that I am here, I'm proclaiming the truth about Christ, and I am freely consenting and admitting with great glory and joy in my heart that it is all by the power of God in Christ Jesus. A saving faith manifests itself. How much it manifests itself and how much it grows depends on you. God is perfectly willing to let you grow as much as you want to grow. And he's given these exceeding great and precious promises and said, all right, you know you're saved. You understand it. You can understand God's word. This is encouraging to you, because you know now. You're sure. Yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, God's word gives you that. It gives you the assurance of your salvation. But God meant for your faith to grow. Now let's look at James again. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Why? For as the body without the spirit is dead, by faith, so faith without works is dead also. There's no such thing as a faith without works. You say, well, yes, there is. A man can be saved. No, that's not what the scripture says. Faith without works is dead also. There's no such thing as a dead faith. A living faith will produce works. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. He's making the point, there's no such thing as a faith like that. That's not a saving faith. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. His point is, you can see it in the life of the person. And if you can't see it, friend, that is a person who does not know Jesus Christ. I might as well be bold about it and say it. Now take a look again at Abraham. Did his faith grow? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Sure did. His faith kept growing, it kept growing, and it kept growing, and it kept growing. We've had a lot of people that are members of this church, a lot of people on our church roll. I believe know Christ. I believe they have a saving faith. There is some degree of manifestation of Christ's Spirit in them. But they are so tied to the world that they want to hold on to the world and still have a growing faith. It won't work. You cannot serve God and mammon. For by it the elders obtained a good report. A good report by faith that showed more and more substance, more and more evidence that they really believed in the things that God had promised. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now, Abraham went into a strange country and sojourned there, and he had faith, but that faith grew. After all he went through, he still lifted up that knife, and he had learned to trust God, and he was going to bring that knife down. So his faith grew. As people grow in the Lord, you see their love for the church growing. You see their love for the place that God intended for them to be growing. You see a change in their attitudes. You see a change in their outlook. You see a lot of the consternation and the strife that's inside them leaving. You see them trying to do things that will promote the healing in the church, that will try to advance the church. You see a love in the way that they give and the way that they perform. You see a genuine concern in their heart for the other members and for the welfare of the whole body. And it is the welfare of the body and our manifestation of this body to this lost and dying world out here that is going to determine whether or not they believe what we say is true. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. God had said, out of this man, your son, is going to come a great nation. Out of this man is going to become a seed in whom all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, referring to Christ. Abraham believed him. And brother, that took a lot of faith. That's why he's called the father of our faith. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. The figure was the ram that was in the thicket. Abraham was about to bring down his knife. And Abraham actually believed if he killed his son, God would resurrect him. But what is a saving faith? It's one who believes that in spite of what you are, a sinner, in spite of what you remain after you're saved, a sinner in the flesh, that God's promise is true, and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you put your trust in Christ, and you believe what God said, and you believe that in spite of you being a sinner in the flesh, because God made this promise and you're trusting in Jesus, he's going to resurrect you from the dead, or if you're still alive, he's going to change you. And the fact that you're here, and the fact that you're listening, and the fact that you're worshiping God is living evidence, and your faith has substance. Now, James asked a question. James in 2:17 and 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Counting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Now, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? The word is mature. He said, now do you see how Abraham always had faith? And it was a living faith, because he says, do you see how the faith grew? Do you see how it matured? Do you see how he's finally willing to offer his son? That's what God means to happen with your saving faith. How much of the inheritance do you want? How much of an overcomer are you going to be? Are you going to claim the promises of God by faith? Are you going to lay back, grab onto the world, love it more than God? Verse 22, in Ephesians 2:22, with which I'll close. In whom ye also, Emmaus, plural, members of the church at Ephesus, are builded together, put together, for a habitation of God through the Spirit. How does God rate us? How does God judge us? What's it going to be like, the judgment seat of Christ? First of all, I believe the first thing you're going to be judged for, and I'll have to admit at this point, it's opinion, but I believe the first thing you're going to be judged for at the judgment seat of Christ, and the only reason you're there is because you're saved. The judgment seat of Christ is just for believers. The first thing you're going to be judged for is whether or not you were properly baptized. Whether or not you were baptized by immersion, by the authority of one of the Lord's churches. Whether or not you thought enough of God to look in His Word and see what the proper mode of baptism was. I think that's the first thing we're going to be judged for. Then after that's over, you're going to be judged for whether or not you served God according to the rules that He laid down in His Word. You're going to be judged by whether or not you served Him in the place you were supposed to serve Him. You're going to be judged for your conduct and your actions, and I'm going to be judged for my conduct and my actions in God's church. We're going to be judged by how much we love that body. And if we stand before Jesus and we say, Lord, we really loved You, don't be surprised if He said, how can you say you love Me, whom you now see, but couldn't see at that time, when you wouldn't love the people there in whom I dwelt? How can you say you love God if you don't love His body? How can you say that you really care for the Lord if you're not loving His body, if you're not loving the bodies and Christ in them that make up the local church? Brothers and sisters in Christ, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So all I can tell you is this. If you have a saving faith, it'll manifest itself. And you'll know you need to be baptized. And if you really want to overcome, you'll join one of God's churches. I'm not talking about being saved now. That's settled the moment you decide that you want to trust Jesus to save you from what you are, a helpless sinner. But then you have some choices to make. How much of an overcomer do I want to be? If you want to be an overcomer for the Lord, well, you're equipped. He lives in you. Why should you unite with a church? Well, Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That's why the church is here. You've got to play by God's Word, by His rules, and you've got to perform in it the way that God directs. It's a very simple formula. Very few people follow. Tonight, God knows the need in your life. Do you have a saving faith? Tonight, can you say, I'm going to heaven just because of Jesus and because of what He did? Are you willing to trust Him tonight, just Him alone, to save you? Well, He's more than willing to accept your faith and to save you because of it. Are you willing to submit to baptism and to be the kind of a person that God wants you to be in His church? Whatever the case, as we have this invitation, as Johnny comes, as Kay comes, you have an opportunity to come forward tonight to do whatever it is that God's dealing with you about. God deals with people to be saved. And after they're saved, God deals with people to be baptized by immersion, by the authority of a local church. And then God deals with them to serve in that church. The Holy Spirit deals with you that way. And that's the way He deals with me and with all of us. If He's dealing with you tonight and you feel God wants you to come, then you just come on. God will take care of all the rest. What number? 300.